Let's do some review before we go on to the new stuff. Who are we talking about? Elijah. And is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Good guy.
Good guy. Who is the bad guy?
Ahab.
Ahab. Got to be quick. This guy's prepared, I can tell. Okay. Okay, now, I got some, my favorite kind of questions are the ones that have multiple choice answers. You're kind of hoping for the recall thing here. Here we go. Elijah, he was a Mishbite, Fishbite, or a Tishbite?
Tishbite.
What's a Tishbite? He's from Tishbe. That makes him a Tishbite. Southern part of... Isn't that weird? I figured I'd better look that up, because somebody's going to ask me, what is a Tishbite? Okay. He was from Silihead, Gilead, Billyhead.
Gilead.
Come on, Danica. This guy's beating you. You know these things. Here we go. Now, here we go. What were the conditions in the land? Drought, earthquake, forest fire, hurricane, camel stampede.
Drought.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to let just Danica have this one. This is her choice. So, Danica, this is for you. Zach, you can help. Elijah was told by God to hide in the brook of Cherith, Lake Michigan, a culvert under the road, or underneath his tent. Underneath his tent. John?
In a...
Hey, the brook of Cherith, or whatever. Here we go. Danica, we'll give you another chance here. What kind of bird did God call upon to feed him? Raven, crow, pheasant, a whippersnickel, or a pumpernickel?
Raven.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We need to look at the store for these whippersnickels and pumpernickel birds. Okay, what did Elijah eat? Bread and fish, bread and flesh, fish and chips, morel mushrooms, or deer jerky? Yeah. Wrong. Bread and flesh. Maybe that's the first sandwich in the Bible. It's nice to know it's not tuna fish. Had to be at least, well, it probably wasn't ham either. Yeah. Okay, what happened to the brook? What happened to the brook? Did it flood? They built a parking lot over it? It dried up or it was polluted?
Dried up.
Dried up. There we go. So when the brook dried up, where did Elijah go? Did he go to the Bat Cave, Zorro's cave, to his lawyer, or to the widow of Zarephath?
Widow of
Zarephath. What miracle took place at the widow's house? More cake was made with little bread and oil. They didn't eat for days. They invented ice cream. Went for a long ways. They just ate a little bit, went for a long ways. Okay? Now, what happened to the widow's son?
He died.
He died. Pretty sad thing. So what did Elijah do with the boy, Danica? Oh, no, excuse me, Mim? I know. What did Elijah do to this boy who died? Laid upon him. How many times? Three times. And what came back to that boy after he had died? His soul came back. You know what that tells us? Soul. And interesting, isn't that? Even back in those. Okay, let's see here. Then what became the condition of the land of Samaria? Famine, food, locust plague, or a frog plague?
Famine.
The locust and the frog thing, that's a whole different story. You know, yeah. And the flood, that's a different story too. But anyway, here's another one. What did Elijah ask all these people that gathered? He said, did he ask them this? How long halt ye between two buildings? How long halt ye between two cats? How long halt ye between two dogs? How long halt ye between two opinions?
Two opinions.
You know what that means, to halt between opinions? You don't know which way to go. It's kind of like when your mom and dad say something, you have a couple seconds of thinking, am I going to obey this or not? So that's not a good time. You got to choose, obey your parents or not. So that's the thing. Okay, so what did Elijah have everybody build?
An altar.
An altar. What'd you say?
Altar.
Hey, very good. And Caitlin, you can jump in too. I mean, with an answer, don't just jump in, but put the answers into this thing. Who was Elijah? Who are the bad people going to call for fire for their altar?
Baal.
And it's just a bunch of altar gods, whoever they want to believe in, kind of, you know. Yes, Zach? See? And actually, when you think about it, it's Baal, but if we want to call it Baal, then Baal could be a false god. There'd be a good old sermon in there. But anyway, it's become everybody's false god today. Anyway, who was Elijah going to call upon for fire?
God.
Very good. Who answered their request?
God.
The other gods didn't at all. That's because they were too busy playing ball. I like that. Did the bad people ever even hear from their gods?
No.
Never did. Just never did. How many stones did Elijah use to build his altar? Who said that? You said that? How long have you folks been here? a half hour, yeah. Must be no fires out there. See if we can light one today in here. 12. Okay, and how many barrels? Let's see, what did Elijah do to the water, to the wood?
Water.
What about it? He drowned it. Don't say that. Just part of it. Just don't get ahead of this thing. Okay. How many barrels of water did Elijah have? Barrels of water.
Three.
What?
Three.
Nope.
Three.
Nope.
Four.
Yep. Had four barrels of water, and he dumped it on there three times. That's all those numbers. Don't get those numbers mixed up. Had four barrels of water, and he had those people dump water on that thing three times. Okay? What did Elijah say to God when he came down and did all this stuff here? What did he say? Now that we'll have to look up. Look at 1 Kings chapter, far more than that. 1 Kings chapter 18. And this kind of reminds us that when we thank God for things and for what he's done and everything, sometimes just a quick old thank you. I mean, it's good to say thanks. But here's what 1 Kings chapter 18. Here's what he says. This is even before the big Louis thing from the tree came out of there. And it kept, verse 36. And now it's time for the Elijah's turn here. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Wouldn't that be nice to be able to say that? When you talk to God and say, God, let it be known that this day that thou art God in Israel. Now, does he have to tell God that he's God?
No.
He's just telling God that he recognizes God as God. That's a good start for people. And that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Why did Elijah want God to answer his prayer and answer this fire thing down? He wanted those people to know that's God. He didn't want to be proven right. He just wanted people to know that that was God. He's not thinking of himself. He's thinking of these other people. These other people, these are bad people. And he wanted God to respond in a manner that these other people would see God. So it isn't that we just want things our way because we're Christians, da 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 da. We want other people to see what it is to have God, to have the Lord. We want other people to understand this King James Bible. We don't want to just show them what we know. We want them to get it. That's the point here. Okay. How did God respond?
He dropped fire on
him. He didn't drop. I mean, it was... Why just, I mean, the wood has been soaked how many times?
Three.
With how many barrels of water?
Four.
Must have been a lot of fire coming out of there. I'm not even sure Sam and Austin could do that. I still think it would be fun to try. Sometime when Mom and Dad are gone, and we'll have to have an Elijah night. Oh, they're going to a homeschool convention. We'll take care of the kids while you're gone. Okay. Okay. And it comes back and the whole barn is gone. You know, boy, I'll tell you, did God do a number on this place? What? Yeah. Okay. And now what did the bad people say when they saw this? Well, you, that's very good, John. Very close. Let's read, it in detail. Verse 39. They said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Now, we're not living in days where God's going to do something visually to get people to know that that's God. That's the frustrating thing, really, in a way. Here we are, King James Bible, believe in salvation, rightly dividing. And because we have the Bible, wouldn't it be fun if we could say, well, I just asked God to come down there and just burn that saloon down there. Just like that. And the people would go, wow. But see, God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that this way now. That's what's hard for us. We'd like to be, yeah, back in the olden days, the Old Testament days, that's what you know what's funny though? God, those people, a lot of people still didn't believe after they saw. So anyway, that's why we are believing by faith. Sometimes you see your parents do things, say things that they shouldn't do. Does that mean that they don't know the Lord? Not with that, with their testimony of, come to hear Bible reading, da-da-da-da. Sometimes you see somebody else. We can't go by sight today. Got to go by faith, and we know what God has to say. Well, okay, let's do another one here. Well, what did Elijah have done to those bad prophet guys?
He hanged
them. Did he hang them?
He slayed.
How do you know? Show me, John. Where's that at? You know, it's just real close to where we just were. See if you can find that. What happened there? Real close. Uh-oh. Sound still there? I just pulled on the cord down there. Okay. Just get them all back, right? There we go. Brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them. I don't know how we, you know. Okay. Now, this whole big event is done. Who heads off to Jezreel? Who's the first guy that gets on his little whatever he's got, chariot, camel, horse? Probably Ahab. He gets off and he takes off for Jezreel. Who gets there first?
Elijah.
So maybe he rode a turtle. And if you rode a camel, camels aren't the quickest little critters in the world. But they're pretty quick, I think, aren't they? I mean, they make kind of looks like slow motion. Kablunk, the hump goes to the left, and then the hump goes to the right. Kablunk, kablunk, kablunk. I can just see Ahab. Come on, let's go, let's go. And he's just bouncing back and forth. And here comes Elijah. And they just run like Daffy Duck or something. How those feet just really run like that? Because God got in there, and it said, girded up his loins and ran before Ahab. God gave him the speed and the strength to run that fast. Haven't you ever asked God for that? Oh, Lord, help these legs work better than they are.
Amen.
Yes, you know. Run, I'd like to just walk from here to there. God, can we just at least do that? And that doesn't happen. You go to nursing homes, I'll tell you, a lot of those people would love to get out of that chair and start walking. And God could do that. But today, God doesn't do it that way. Okay, now, who was Ahab going to go see?
Jezebel.
Wow. And that's where we pick it up today. First Kings chapter 19. Are we ready? He's going to go see. But we're going to learn more about Jezebel next week. Probably one of more of my favorite Sunday school lessons coming up. I can just tell. Jezebel's not a good lady. She's not a good lady. Okay, here we go. Chapter 19. You ready? You ready? No, First Kings. I said Acts. It did say Acts, but... You know me by now, so don't listen to the first reference. Always go with the second. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now, that's not true. That's a lie. God did it. He brought all this stuff down, and he's the one that's doing all this kind of stuff. This wasn't Elijah's little plan. He had that done, but he didn't do it. So we got Jezebel already hearing a lie. Not quite the truth there. And if it's not quite the truth, it's a
lie.
If it's a lot enough the truth, it's a lie. If it's just itty bitty little bit of it, not quite the truth, it's a
lie.
All men are liars. So are the ladies. Just want you girls to know. Okay. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. saying. See, and that's like today. You get emails and stuff from people that threaten you because they don't show up face to face. They kind of send you this little sheet and go. She sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." That's a real classy way of saying you're going to die. You're going to have a lousy day. Da 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 da. Now here's Elijah. He look. Remember what Elijah has done, Caleb. Remember all the stuff Elijah has done. The fire thing, and God come down, and all these things. And this lady says to him, "You die." And he freezes up. He gets scared to death all of a sudden. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." Oh, whine, whine, whine. Things got a little tough after he had a great time with the Lord. Things got a little tough. Little lady comes in here and scares him, and he runs off and hides and wants to die. Isn't that just sad?
It's pitiful.
It's even worse than sad. Okay, now, God's going to step into the picture again here. Verse 5. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." Oh, that's good. Arise and eat? What do you have to eat? And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. Now, you're laying down, and you're depressed, and you're sad, and you want to die, and you feel this little nudge from an angel, and you wake up, and he's looking out here, and here's this barbecue grill sitting here, you know, with food on this thing, and then a nice little cruse of water right there. Boy, wasn't that just an amazing thing? He didn't just provide the food, he even had the coals going. And I don't suppose that the angel had to bring all the briquettes and the squirting junk and all that. I bet you that angel could just poof, light that thing right up just like that. Well, of course, they just did it, you know, in a big way. But that's not what's exciting. You know what's exciting about this story to me? Let's look at verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." We have here a scriptural support and an example for having seconds. I mean, you need that second round. I mean, this is going to be a rough day. I need an extra piece of toast or a third egg. I mean, let's go for some more. Can I have another bacon, please? It's going to be a hard day. Everybody back yet? Okay, and he arose and did eat and drink. Well, of course, if somebody offers you seconds, you're not rude. You always take the seconds. Remember that now. And went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Boy, isn't that, that's the marvelous story there. Now, 10-2 already, okay. Maybe we can, we'll see. Okay, now, how are we doing? Who's this about? Caitlin? You don't remember who we're talking about this morning? Well, yeah, but boy, you could have slept in or something this morning if you're not hearing these things. Okay, yeah, you'll be sitting there looking around and the kids and stuff, they're listening real close. What do you have in your hand? Who's that? No, Caitlin. Who's that? In your hands, who's that? Wow. And Amanda, what have you got? Elephant, yeah. The giraffe, the elephant has a long nose, and the giraffe has a long neck. There we go. And the pastor has a long puck. Okay. Here we go. Verse 9. Are we ready? Now listen. Make sure that your giraffe and your dog there listen to this stuff too. Okay, you haven't been telling these things. Okay, and he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, look at that, it says, he said, He's talking about the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. That you would think that would be an it, the word of the Lord. But it's not. It says, and he said unto him. Now, just we've got a couple seconds. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 for just a moment. If you can find Hebrews, it's right before Hebrews. Hebrews 4. And you know the standard joke, this is the book that tells people who makes coffee, you know, it's the Hebrews, and he's Hebrews, he makes his own coffee. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, because verse 12 is talking about the word of the Lord is quick and powerful. And we get to verse 13, neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, referring back to the word of the Lord, the word of God. A he and a his. Isn't that exciting? That's something to think about. Let's go back to 1 Kings. So he makes reference to the word of the Lord. He said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been... You know what? Verse 10. Can you read some of that, Danica, to me? Is that possible? The first couple words in verse 10 of chapter 19?
And he said, I have been
very... Uh-oh, Bob, help.
For the Lord God...
Hosts, good. Very good. Because, you see them thinking through the reading thing. You kind of looking at it like that. So here's Elijah, and he's saying, God, everybody's quit, but not me, and they want to get rid of me. Have you ever kind of felt that way? Some people get that way. I hope we don't. Now let's read verse 11. John, can you read verse 11? But we're just going to do segments of it, okay? So go ahead, start. Okay, I guess we'll go with the punctuation now. So he says, okay, then what would he say to us today? He would say, open your Bible. That's what he gave us. Okay, John?
And behold, the Lord passeth by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain.
Okay, so now we know we're in Tushy. And he says, okay, and all of a sudden comes this huge wind. Rent the mountains, just beating the mountains apart. Okay, John?
And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord.
This is a serious... Thomas, you got to pause. It gives me time to jump in then, see? Now, this is a rough wind. It's just a serious thing. Okay, John?
But the Lord was not in the wind.
Okay, there's a semicolon there. The Lord was not in this wind. Remember, Elijah was complaining and saying, "People, Lord, everybody's done, and where's everybody at?" And he says, "Okay, go stand upon the mount of the Lord," and here comes this big wind. What would you think? If you remember these days, I mean, God says, "Go stand there," and now comes this big wind. You would think, "Oh, this must be of God. This must be of God. He told me to go here and stand, and now look at how he's just destroying nature. He's not even an environmentalist. I mean, he's just really messing this thing up, you know." Okay, John, next little phrase there. Now we got an earth. I would be a little tense myself. You go onto this mount here, and this big wind comes in. The rocks are breaking. I mean, you ever see wind break a rock? That's a serious wind. Rocks hitting rocks, and they're breaking all over the place. He probably hasn't got his OSHA helmet on or anything here. Now there's an earthquake. Ever been in an earthquake?
Yeah.
Have you been in an earthquake, Olivia? Been in an earthquake? It's not very fun because all of a sudden your whole foundation is shaking. It's like when you lay down in bed at night and Sam and Austin sneak in and kind of to the bed and you don't know what to do. You don't know what's going on. Have they ever done that? No? Do you have a lock in your door, Olivia? I would keep the door locked for a while. See if you can lock out the next earthquake. Okay, John, so we got a huge wind breaking the rocks and the mountain's getting torn up. Now we got an earthquake.
But the Lord is not in the earthquake.
Well, I tell you, why do you want me standing here, God? Okay, let's see. Caitlin, can you pull out? No, we're going to go to Olivia on this one. We'll come to you in a minute. Olivia, verse 12.
And after the earthquake, a fire.
Whoa. Now that's, you know, I mean, a wind blowing the rocks and the mountains apart. Okay, that's pretty rough. Earthquake, hang on to the juniper, hang on to something. I'm not into fire. Fire, it really hurts. I wouldn't like the fire thing. But what does it say here, Caitlin? Can you read the rest of the part of that next section there? But he wasn't in the fire. Here's Elijah, Mr. Whiner himself, after all the marvelous things he has seen God do, and then he goes to this mountaintop and here's this wind and the rocks and this earthquake and this fire, and oh, I'm telling you, this is some serious stuff. But the Lord was not in any of that stuff. Have you seen pictures of an earthquake? What it's done, it just destroys the city. Have you seen what wind can do? Well, yeah, we live here. Have you seen what fire can do? Did Sam and Austin, did they take any of the wood from the campfire the other night and put it back in the ground for some more tree? No, it's gone. I mean, it just destroyed it. And God wasn't in any of that stuff. Now, we're living in a day where there are people and preachers and pastors and parents and teachers and TV people and movies and videos that have fantastic things that we can see. And we have people that are saying a lot of these fantastic, pizzazzy, hoopla kind of things that it's just like, wow, they're saying that this is from God. This is how people decide whether it's true or not. Great big huge churches. Big orchestras. People that can actually play harps really fancy. I know one guy that his church is, it's all glass. It's just all glass. Crystal, I mean, it's just beautiful place. And there's these people, they have fountains. Wouldn't it be fun to have a fountain here out front? We could easily have one, but I mean a really nice fountain. And they've got 15 huge school buses in the back, and they pick up kids all over the place. And, oh, I'm telling you, and there's just hundreds and hundreds of kids, and they've got every musical instrument the music store would sell them. And, oh, it's just beyond can't even heart. And they've got videos going on in their church showing all this special effect stuff, you know, where it shows like the pastor can float out of the ceiling, from the ceiling down into the pole. I mean, there's just so many things you can see. It would be just absolutely marvelous. Wouldn't that just, that would just be something. Next, just this thing. Wednesday night you come back to church and we have changed this whole place into a gym and a huge church and all, we had grand piano, which I still want to have grand piano, but all this fancy stuff. Wouldn't that be something? And some people would say, okay, now I'll go to church with you. God must be there. And we know that he's not. That's not how God operates. And the rest of that verse tells us where God was at even then. Let's have, Jonah. Let's have you finish verse 12.
And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small voice.
A still small voice. It doesn't say still a small voice. It's a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face. He knew what that was. Now, this is why so many of your friends and people you see down the street at the school, they have such a hard time with this stuff. They see all this stuff that's going on. Remember all those things I said? And we know about it without a shadow of a doubt that this is where we hear from God. Not even in our own little thinking times, you know. We've got to hear God from this Bible. This Bible is a still, small voice. This is where you go to hear from God. And while you're reading, God can tell you things. He'll show you something. But we've even learned that in the Bible, during Paul's day, that God would tell people things. Because they didn't have a Bible then. They had scriptures, but they didn't have all the stuff that Paul was teaching written. They didn't have any of that stuff. So God still spoke to these people. But we have to realize today that because of what this verse, what is it? 1 Corinthians 13:10. He says, that which is perfect has come. And perfect meaning complete. It's done. Now this is where we go to hear from God. No fancy church, big building. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that we couldn't still have a fancy church building. But God would kind of tell us, why do you want to spend all this money in a fancy church building? And we would get that from reading our Bible. Well, then we would have to say, Pastor, no fancy church building. Okay. Can I still have my log cabin office out back? Well, no. You know. Can I have a grand piano in my office?
No.
But we know where God is at. And that's what we have to learn from our lesson today. And we're going to stop at that lesson right there. Because I don't want to go past that. I want you to think about this between now and next Sunday. Because there's more to come with Elijah. Oh, there's more to come. Do you know that Elijah is even going to still show up one more time? I saw those eyes move, Danica. That means you're listening. That means you're thinking. You're understanding some of this stuff. Her eyes kind of went, who? Yes. But I want to tell you this, though. We don't want to be there when he shows up again. He doesn't come at a good time for the world. We'll talk about that. Elijah's going to still come again. In fact, Elijah comes back even before then in the Bible. In fact, don't say anything, but do you know how Elijah even left? You don't? Oh. Now, Danica, I'm going to put the pressure on Mom. When you come back next Sunday, and this is not Grandma, this is not Patience, this is not Zach, this is Mama. You better come back next week, and I want you to know how Elijah left. Okay, is that a promise? You know.
Not Grandpa.
No, Grandpa. Nobody else in here can tell Danica how it is that Elijah gets out of here, because I'll give you a clue. He doesn't die. Wouldn't that be neat? That's kind of how I'm kind of hoping on this myself. You know, doesn't have to be that way, because if it was, I'd move back to South Dakota. We go back to South Dakota, right? We could go out with Elijah. Oh, here comes one of those things. Run over there and just dive right into it. And it's not the same. You getting any clues, Danica? Okay. He leaves, doesn't die, and he shows up another time, and he's going to come back again after we are today. He's going to come back again. Okay, we'll break a couple minutes early, and we'll go upstairs and...